Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Just reliving the Quick Lane Bowl during the commercial break. Just the sheer joy that was a quarterback throwing multiple punches at the end of a play. Maybe even catching a ref there on the cheek as well. Josh Ward from WNML joining us here from Knoxville. Josh, how was your holiday? Have you watched a single moment of bowl games? Because Derek and I, I'm not sure we've watched a single second of bowl games.
Well, here's the thing. I've watched a fair amount of the bowl games, and I've also spent time on the radio complaining about the fact that I've watched the bowl games because the quality of play, the end of the Hawaii Bowl was dramatic. It was also not the best time, you know, doing a lot of family stuff for Christmas Eve, and
right.
it was very frustrating watching some of the decision making that was being made. But I put it on the television kind of as background filler at times as well.
So, Josh, just let me get your thoughts real quickly here on, before we get to some Tennessee stuff, just your thoughts real quickly on the championship games, the playoff games that are taking place tomorrow when you got LSU-Oklahoma at 3 and, of course, Ohio State-Clemson. You can hear them, of course, on ESPN 94.9 Game 2 right here with Cromwell. And, listen, I can't make the case for Oklahoma. Maybe you can. And then do you have any idea what takes place in the second game tomorrow?
Well, I've struggled to really come up with Oklahoma winning the game as well. I think that Jalen Hurts and that offense will be able to put up a fight. I just, even with the injury at running back, the question at running back for LSU, I still don't see it being enough. And I know there's been the talk of, okay, Oklahoma kind of reset things over the last few weeks to get ready for this game. And I don't doubt that. I think LSU's been too much for everybody this year, and I expect that to continue. You and I have talked about Clemson a lot over the course of the season, especially as not to the level that Dabo has told us that doubters have kind of showed up there, but I still think Clemson's a really good team. I think Trevor Lawrence is the better quarterback in this matchup, and I do wonder, is the knee more of a problem than we've talked about with Justin Fields going into this? But I think this is the one. I mean, the point spread shows it to where we really should throw our hands up in the air as to what could happen. But at the beginning of the season, I picked Clemson to win the national championship, and Clemson is a slight favorite in this game, so why not stick with Clemson?
Now, UT play Indiana. I'm eager to see this matchup, Big Ten, SEC. These are two teams that are they mirror one another. I believe these are two teams that are growing within their program after being down for so long. Is this a must-win for Jeremy Pruitt heading into the offseason, or is this just one of those deals where, you know what, we get extra practices, let's go out there and perform well, and whether we win or lose, that really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think for Jeremy Pruitt and what he's been able to do over the last five games, the last month and a half of the season or so, I think really it helped with the goodwill that he was trying to create with Tennessee's fan base. It helped get him back maybe in that area after how the season had started. And really, I think it showed signs of legitimate progress with players and how they were developing and how the team was coming together to go in the direction of where Jeremy Pruitt wants it. Losing to Indiana, I don't think would change that. It is a game where the matchup, I think, is a little tougher than maybe some people would think on paper. Indiana's a solid football team. I think both teams are saying, hey, this would be our best win of the season if we can close it out that way. I know some fans will probably look at, okay, well, beating Indiana is not going to top some of the SEC wins, but a lot of the numbers out there say that that would be the case. And then for Indiana, a similar situation. So I think if Tennessee is able to get a win, it absolutely helps. And you could say, okay, six straight wins to close out the season, that's a positive. You can try to go sell that on the recruiting trail and see if that helps you in some kind of way. And it would just, again, to mention the goodwill, it would certainly not hurt to win the game. If Tennessee loses, I don't think it says too much. And then also, to bring it back to the bowl game discussion, I don't use bowl games very often to determine much of what will happen in the next season. If it's like running back Eric Gray goes out and has a big game, that's something to maybe build on. But the guys who have gotten Tennessee to this point largely are going to be leaving after this game. So I think you kind of reset the conversation and you talk about the players who are next in line to lead the way to see what they can do next year for Tennessee.
Josh Ward joining us here, WNML Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and Josh. The story was that the boosters sort of strong-armed the conferences and the bowl alignments to get this matchup. And again, they had every right to do that with wins over Kentucky and South Carolina and Mississippi State or whatever. What has that has that concept changed? Has the fans, as the matchup has settled in, and like you said, people don't maybe realize that Indiana's a better team than they think, but it does, certainly doesn't have a lot of sex appeal. Has anybody sort of, has there been any regret on that decision, you think, on Tennessee fans' parts?
I don't think so. Aside from fans who currently hold tickets to the Music City Bowl, I would say that, you know, they're not too thrilled, but not matchup related. That's more personal finance situation, which I totally get, and I'm not going to push back on that one. And for those at Tennessee that wanted the Music City Bowl to have a maybe better shot at a win, and going to Nashville is, I think, a good thing for Tennessee. I think they had good points. I've said this. I don't think there's a wrong answer. If you were in favor of going to Gator Bowl in Florida, or you were in favor of going to the Music City Bowl in Nashville, both have points to be made of why it would be better. If Tennessee loses to Indiana, after the fact, they're talking about what could have been, Louisville would have been a better or an easier matchup for Tennessee. Then after the fact, I think that could come up. I also haven't sensed that much buzz to this point related to the matchup, to the game itself. And maybe that part of that's because, well, recruiting became a big topic in the middle of the month. You've had the Lamonte Turner situation, so basketball's gotten even more of the conversation, plus the holidays. So I'll be curious over the next 4 or 5 days what the conversation is on the Tennessee side as legitimate bowl practice is starting to take place, and we have the build-up to the game. I haven't sensed that much over the last couple of weeks.
Now, Josh, how much are the people in East Tennessee paying attention to this Titans-Houston matchup?
Yeah, I think a pretty fair amount. Over the last few weeks with the switch to Tannehill and what Derrick Henry's been able to do, and as the playoffs became a much more realistic possibility, the build-up to the game a couple of weeks ago when the Texans were in Nashville got a good amount of attention in Knoxville. So I think heading into this weekend, I think fans are – yeah, there's a good amount of Titans fans. It's split up. You'll have plenty of Cowboys fans in Knoxville, and they're not too thrilled right now. Steelers fans in a similar situation. And then you have the Titans, who have been battling Pittsburgh for that playoff spot. So it's gotten a good buildup, I think. And there's a good share of a number of different fan bases that are represented in Knoxville. But the following of the Titans has grown over the last, I would say, few years. And also with what the offense has done. I mentioned Tannehill and Henry and the emergence of A.J. Brown. I think fans have just looked for a reason to be excited about what they're seeing on the field, and this second half surge by the Titans has offered that because of the explosive plays they've been able to make on the offensive side as well. So I think a lot of eyeballs will be on what happens with the Titans and Texans, especially knowing the win and get in. The playoff scenarios can often be really confusing and can cause, I think, fans to check out. This one's simple on the positive side. You win, you get in, and fans can follow that for sure.
Josh Ward joining us here from WNML. And listen, they got the Wisconsin game coming up, but you mentioned the Lamonte Turner situation, just sort of the state of Tennessee basketball right now. Every game they've played against the team that is, you know, quote unquote, more talented or better than them, they've basically lost. So what is your general view and outlook on Tennessee hoops at this point?
Yeah, it's a tough loss with Lamonte Turner being out for a number of reasons. There's the leadership that Rick Barnes continues to talk about that Lamonte was able to offer to the team. He's a really good defender. Most of the conversation is around the offensive side, and he had not been shooting well. I think he had been better at distributing the basketball from the point guard position, which is not easy to play with Rick Barnes as the head coach. He's very demanding there, and Lamonte knows how to take the criticism and the way that Rick pushes his players. So now you shift roles a little bit, and Josiah Jordan-James, the true freshman, he's a very talented five-star player, future NBA player, he should be at least. He's a guy that will have the ball in his hands more, and he'll probably be more comfortable. So there are ways to manage within the offense, but do they keep things up defensively? Because that's a must for this team. Are they deep enough? You have 8 scholarship players right now. They have a newcomer, Santiago Vescovi, who's going to have a chance to come in and play, but how much does he play, and how comfortable is Rick Barnes with him, especially if he's running the offense, considering he has not to this point been practicing with the team? Those are just concerns. And then what if you deal with injuries moving forward? And you have a number of young players who are now going to be asked to play bigger roles as you get ready to head into conference play. So this Wisconsin game is at least a good test to see where things are after a week of preparing without Lamonte. But the timing is pretty rough for Tennessee. And I think one thing that maybe helps is the conference has a number of questions heading into league play. But Tennessee is very high on that list of teams with questions. So it's a really tough loss to lose Lamonte Turner.
Josh, obviously a huge weekend for football and college pro and as well as college hoops as well. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and the family, and we appreciate you joining us, man.
Yes, thank you guys. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Josh Ward there. The national championship semifinals are tomorrow, by the way. I don't know if anybody's noticed this. I have not been watching bowl games. I just can't get into it. I can't do it yet.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I'm all in. 3 p.m. LSU, Oklahoma. 7 p.m. Clemson, Ohio State, right here on 94.9 Game 2. And I want to try. I need to hear one of the three of us try to make the case for Oklahoma. And I think there is a huge story. Josh touched on it. A huge storyline in the Ohio State Clemson game that no one's really talking about. And we'll get into the college football playoff games when we return right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.